always keeping the main thing the main thing, thanking God for Jesus Christ, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, thanking God for the angels who watch over us, thanking God for the church, thanking God for this congregation, thanking God for the leaders of this congregation, thanking God for this blessed morning that he gave us to come out and worship him in spirit and in truth. I pray that we remove any and everything that might hinder our worship today. May God bless our ears of hearing, our hearts of receiving, and our wills to obey. Today, we're coming from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2. My sermon title is The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. And it reads, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." Jesus ascended a mountain, sits down, and began to teach his disciples. This sets the stage for the Sermon on the Mount, a collection of Jesus' teaching on the nature of his kingdom and the character of his citizens, of its citizens. The verse highlights the transition from Jesus seeing the crowds to teaching his disciples in a structured way. The Beatitudes describe the qualities of circumstances that make a person blessed and happy. It's a supreme blessing. And blessed means fortunate. Matthew 5 and 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This teaches that those who recognize their spiritual bankruptcy will turn to God for salvation and a relationship with him. Being poor in the spirit is not about material poverty, but rather about human awareness of one's sinfulness and spiritual emptiness, leading to a reliance on God's grace and salvation. Poor in the spirit refers to a deep sense of spiritual need and recognizing one's inability to save oneself. It is the opposite of pride and self-reliance, acknowledging that salvation comes only through God's grace and mercy. Verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." This beatitude emphasizes the mourning over sin, both personal and social. It's a pathway to receiving comfort and blessings from God. It's not a wallowing in the sorrow, but recognizing the brokenness of the world. And this world is broke. Amen. And one's own sinfulness with a sincere desire for healing and restoration. The mourning Jesus refers to is not just general grief, but a deep sorrow over sin and its consequences. This includes personal sin, the sins of others, and brokenness of the world. Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." This is the third of the Beatitudes, where Jesus described those who are blessed in the context of the kingdom of heaven. Meekness in this context is not weakness, but rather a gentle strength, a humble reliance on God rather than self-assertion. It's about trusting God to work things out and not resorting to force or manipulation. The promise is both a present and future reality. In the present, meekness brings peace and joy as one trusts in God's reign and surrenders himself to his will. In the future, it signifies the inheriting of the new heaven and the new earth when Christ returns. Verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." It teaches that those who intensely desire to live righteous, pursuing God's will and aligning their lives with His standards, will be satisfied and filled. This desire is likened to a deep hunger and thirst that can only be quenched by righteousness. It's not about self-righteousness, but about longing for God's will and character, which ultimately leads to spiritual fulfillment. The promise of being filled or satisfied is a promise of spiritual fulfillment that comes from pursuing righteousness. This is not a temporary or superficial satisfaction, but a deep and lasting contentment that comes from being close to God and living according to His will. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This means that those who show compassion and forgiveness to others will be shown mercy by God. It highlights the nature of mercy, emphasizing that practicing mercy toward others is a way to receive it from God. This refers to individuals who are compassionate, kind, and willing to forgive others. They recognize the need and suffering of others and actively seek to alleviate them. It encourages believers to cultivate a merciful heart and to extend grace and forgiveness to others, mirroring God's own merciful nature. It's a principle that links human action with divine response. Verse 8, blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. This beatitude emphasizes that the importance of inner purity, not just outward actions, and promises a special relationship with God. Purity of heart refers to a state of inner cleanliness, where one's thought, motives, and desires are free from sin and aligned with God's will. Seeing God is not just a literal physical vision of God, but a deeper, more intimate understanding and experience of God's presence and glory. This beatitude highlights that true blessedness comes from having a heart that is devoted to God and seeking to please Him. It also suggests that a pure heart is the key to experiencing God's blessing, both in this life and the life to come. The promises of seeing God in this verse is often interpreted as a future blessing, particularly in heaven, but also as a present reality as one grows closer to God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This verse highlights the importance of actively pursuing peace and reconciliation in all relationships, reflecting God's own nature as a peacemaker. Peacemakers are those who actively work to reconcile and restore relationships. This can involve preventing conflicts, mediating disputes, and fostering harmony between individuals or groups. The concept of peacemaking extends beyond simply avoiding conflicts. It involves actively seeking reconciliation and unity. This beatitude emphasizes that peacemakers are acting in accordance with God's will. As God Himself is the ultimate peacemaker who reconciles humanity to Himself through Jesus Christ, being a peacemaker means striving for peace in all areas of life. The reward for peacemakers is being called children of God, signifying their close relationship with God and their participation in his work and reconciliation. Peacemaking may not always be easy. It may not be always easy. It may involve confronting difficult situations, offering forgiveness, and seeking understanding. Peacemakers will experience a blessing and favor from God. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This verse highlights that suffering for standing up for what is right and identifying it with Jesus is a sign of God's favor. It emphasizes the persecution for righteousness, that persecution for righteousness is not a reason for despair, but rather a cause for rejoicing, as it indicates a great reward in heaven. While suffering may be difficult, it is a sign of being on the right path and aligning with God's will, and therefore brings blessing and a place in God's kingdom. Persecution must be for the sake of righteousness, meaning standing up for what is morally right and aligned with God's teaching. Those who face persecution will receive a great reward in heaven, indicating that their suffering is not in vain. Jesus reminds his followers that the prophets of old also faced persecution, further emphasizing that standing up for righteousness can lead to hardship in this world, but ultimately brings blessing. The passage encourages believers to rejoice and be glad in the face of persecution, as it is a sign of their close relationship with Christ, and a great reward awaits them. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. This signifies that those who experience persecution for their faith are considered fortunate and favored by God. This refers to the various forms of mistreatment and oppositions that Christians may encounter, including verbal and social isolation. This emphasizes that the accusations against believers are untrue and motivated by malice, because of me. This crucial phrase clarifies that the persecution and false accusations are directly linked to the individual's faith in Christ and their commitment. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:12 is the concluding verse of the Beatitudes, which outline the characteristics of those who are blessed in God's kingdom. It highlights that even in the face of opposition, those who embody these characteristics are part of God's kingdom and will experience his favor. Instead of being discouraged or disheartened by persecution, believers are called to rejoice and be glad. That's heavy. You know, somebody hurts you and you're going to rejoice. Somebody says something wrong to you, but you're going to rejoice. Somebody just don't like you, but you still rejoice. Amen? Because something awaits us, and that's heaven. But if you don't want heaven, keep on being selfish. Keep on being self-way. Keep on being stiff-necked. Keep on being selfish in these others. But the Beatitudes is there for us to say that it's going to be a struggle. It's not going to be easy. Are you with me? It's not going to be easy. I might just wake up one morning mad, and I come to you and you're glad. You're supposed to take some of that glad and, it's supposed to be like that. Are you with me? Take some of that glad and make me glad too. Are you with me? Not me taking my bad and make you mad. I'm gonna stop now. Because I know everybody's hungry and whatnot, you know. They want something to eat. That food smells good, don't it? It smells good now. And I'm gonna let you go. But before I let you go, I wanna say, I hope and pray that something said made you better for having come. I pray that God would bless us in every area needed. Ask for his blessings. Ask him. He said, if you just ask me, tell me what you need. I already know what you need, but I want you to know. Amen. Just tell me. And I hope and pray that we grow in this way. If you are here and you're not a member of the church, there's some things that must happen. You must do. You must hear God's word. What is God's word? That Jesus came down from heaven, born of a virgin, lived, suffered, and died, was crucified on a cruel cross. But he woke up on that third day with all power in his hands. That's what we hear. And that's what we must believe. We must believe that. We must repent of our way. Repent means to not just stop doing something, but turn around. You see, because many times, as I stated before, we could be going in this direction, this wrong direction, and just stop and then keep going. But it's about turning around. Amen? It's about turning around. Repent. You must confess with your mouth what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must be. You can't get around it. It's a must. It must happen. You must do this. And then after that, you must stay faithful in God's grace. You must come to worship. You must come to events that the church have. Because when you come together, God says something like this: coming together make us stronger. Amen. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as some do. Are you with me? But come together. Come together. Together with the same mind, with the same purpose. I'm not coming here to disrupt anything. You know, I'm not coming here to make somebody feel bad or look bad. Are you with me? I'm coming to rejoice. As I stated this morning, right? Tom, me and him on a team playing. He's scoring 30 points a game. 30 points a game, right? You know, I'm on the team too, right? He's first string. I'm on the bench. The only time I get in the game, the only time that I got in the game, we was up ahead 40 points, Brother Britt. 40 points. 4 seconds left. Get in there, Brother Pastor. Give him the good shot. Right, now, I'm mad at Tom, and I want to spike his Gatorade. Amen? No, that's not what we come together for. We come together to make one another happy. Because this world ain't got nothing for us. This world ain't got no happiness. This world is phony. Amen? You know, sometimes we see on the television, you know, we see movies and whatnot, and we cry. And it's a lie. Are you with me? I mean, we actually cried because Jim got killed. Are you with me? Jim should have never got killed because he was a good guy. Are you with me? And we cry about that. But when it comes to church, right, we believe less. We believe less. We must trust in God. We must come to worship. We must give. We must teach. We must pray. We must. There's a lot of must, but I know you're hungry, but I ain't going over all the must. But anyway, but that particular must, it's a particular must that we must do, and that's love. We must love. You can't get around that. You can't get around it. Whether you're white or you're black or whatever, you're alien or whatever, you can't get around love. It must happen. It must be true and pure. It got to be. If it's not, you're just wasting your time. And I say to you, don't waste your time. Love how it's supposed to be. If you can't do it, go to God and tell him about it. Lord, I need fixing. I need fixing. I need fixing, Lord. Please help me. Are you with me? Instead of saying, Lord, I don't want you to know this because I don't want you to think this way about me. God knows us already. He knows us. If you are here and you are a member of the church, and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement, you may ask for prayers at this time. And may God bless you.